This morning I'll be ministering on a simple message, simply entitled, A New Tenant Has Arrived. Hell is not fit for a saint. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, a new tenant has arrived. Look to the other neighbor. Neighbor, a new tenant has arrived. Before Christ came, amen, the devil had reigned. And when Christ came, he served the devil notice that his time was up. John chapter 12 and verse 31 says this, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Revelation 12 and 12 says this, Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto you, the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time. Amen. This morning, a new tenant has arrived. Hell is not fit for a saint. One more scripture before we go to the text, just to get you to understand what's happening here. Psalms chapter 68 and verse 18 says this. This is David speaking. Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, the rebellious also, that the Lord thy might God might dwell among them. When Jesus came on this earth, he came down from heaven for a purpose. And he left and he went back up to heaven for a purpose. And then he sent down his spirit for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, and this is where I'll be taking my text this morning. The word of God says this, There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all in you. And pay attention to these verses. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended is he but who descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. Amen. We have a picture of what Jesus did when he went to the cross. We have a picture of what had happened. I don't know if you all know this, but before Christ came, every single person that died, they couldn't just go to heaven. They didn't just die and go absent in the body and present with the Lord. They couldn't go to heaven because the blood had not been applied to the mercy seat. There was still that gap between the Holy of Holies and the veil that had not yet been torn down. They couldn't boldly go before the throne of the Lord. So what would happen when people in the Old Testament or saints of old would die, they would go to this place the scripture calls Abraham's bosom. It was a place where it was called paradise, where sinners that were not saved went in the lower part, and those that were saved were in the upper part. You can find that in Luke chapter 16. And it's a very familiar story, the story of Lazarus. And it says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared scrumptiously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who lay at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it goes on to say that in verse 3, And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest good things. And it goes on to say in verse 18, verse 16, he said, beside this, between you and me, there's a great gulf fixed, that which would pass hence you cannot, neither can they pass us that would come from there. So we understand this, that people that were saved in the sense of believed in Christ, when they died, they didn't go to the burning place of hell. They didn't go to Gehenna. They didn't go to where the fire was. But there was a bridge between them and the upper parts, which was called Abraham's bosom. So Jesus, understand this, before Christ came, The saints of old were held captive. They were bound to this world. They had been dead for years but could never enter into heaven because the blood had not yet been applied. They were in a temporary holding place. Amen. Amen. They were held captive. Much like someone that can't get out of a room until someone comes and opens the door, they can't go through. Amen. But verse 4 and 8 says this: Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Amen.
Amen.
Prisoners. You know what held these people captive? The same thing that holds us captive sometimes. Sin, death, hell. They could not, they were not stronger, amen, than these things. They were weaker. They could not overpower sin. They couldn't overcome the devil in themselves. They couldn't have victory in themselves. All they could do was have hope. But Jesus, and hear the scripture, he led captivity captive. You know what that means? He took the kidnappers that kidnapped us and captured them. He took the enemy that had us bound, the enemy that had us in bondage, and he said, you know what? I am greater than you. By what I'm going to do at the cross, not only will I take away what you've done, but I'm going to take you captive. He takes our captors, amen, and captures them. He conquered those who conquered us. Sin, the devil, and death. He triumphed over all these things, amen, at the cross. And when he ascended, in verse 9 it says this, what is he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Before Jesus went to heaven after he died, he had some work to do. After he died upon the cross, he was buried for 3 days. The Bible says he preached to them in prison. I picture that when he died on the cross, that he went down to Abraham's bosom and said, guess what? Salvation has come. Guess what? You don't have to be here any longer. Guess what? I just come and I just died. And guess what? Now I'm going up to apply the blood on the mercy seat. Where you were once bound, where you once could not come from, I am here to set you free. Amen. Jesus first doesn't leave any saints behind. Amen. He went to Abraham's bosom. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52 says this: and the graves were opened. Listen to this. And the graves were opened, and this is after Jesus had died. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This is the power of Christ. They thought that they had crucified the king, when in fact all they had really done was provoke God's glory. When Jesus died and the earthquake came and the blood poured down from his side and poured down from his head and from his wounds, the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ arose. The word of God says that the graves were open, meaning they could not be closed any longer, meaning that God had already done what he needed to do. The devil could no longer say payment for sin had not been made, amen. And they were free. And it says they arose after his resurrection. And it says that he descended, the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus, after the cross, went home to claim his throne. His glory has filled all things and is in everything. I want you to picture this. John 17 says this about Jesus. Jesus praying to the Father, he says, Father, restore to me the glory that I had with thee before the foundations of the earth. Restore unto me the glory. Take me back home. You see, when Jesus had left heaven and come down to earth, it was for this reason. The devil had kingdom for too long. The prince and power of the earth, his lease ran up. His time had expired, so God had to send the new tenant. Amen. Jesus came down from heaven, and when he came down, you know what Satan said? Trying to pack my bags. When we, in this life, move on to bigger things, or we move to a new location, what happens? The former tenant got to go. You can't live in the same place that someone else lives. The devil can't live in the same place that God lives. Amen. I want you to get this. The devil cannot be where God is. He can't have dominion where Christ is. And before we were saved, before we had Christ, we were full of dead men's bones. We were full of sin. We were full of iniquity. We were full of the devil and his works. But when Jesus Christ came into our lives, and when he came into our hearts, guess what had to happen? The Holy Spirit said, guess what, Satan? You gotta go because I'm coming in. So when you think the devil's got something on you, understand this, his lease has expired. All he can do is try to make a claim saying, well, I have you. But you have to understand the fact is Jesus Christ has already replaced the devil. He's already defeated the devil. He's already kicked him out, and the keys have been handed over. Amen. Jesus Christ is new tenant. And when he died on the cross, how many of y'all know that sometimes when you go back to your home or move into a new place that people give you gifts? Call them housewarming gifts. And Jesus, when he went back to heaven and went back up onto the throne, he received gifts. God the Father said, you know what? You've done everything I've asked you to do. You've done what I've asked you. You've preached what I told you. You've gone where I wanted you to go. And you died on the cross. Here is your reward, Jesus. And the scripture says this. He ascended on high and has led captivity captive, that he has received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, the Lord God might dwell among them. God gave Jesus gifts to give to the church. Jesus does not hold anything back from believers. He doesn't keep what God has given him. So those of you all that think that God is trying to hold his work in your life back or not want you to come to the fullness, it's a mistake. The Lord gives. Because he receives, he gives. Amen? We can't be Christ. Amen? But hopefully, with what the Lord has given us, we can share that with others. We can give that to others. We can share mercy because we've received mercy. We can share the gospel because we've received the gospel. We can be a blessing because we have been blessed. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, now being named King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bright morning star, he has a work that needs to be done on this earth. He tells the disciples, I'm leaving, you're staying, but I'm going to work with you. And if we go down Ephesians, it says this, here are the gifts that he gave to the church. Amen. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of his fullness, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but in the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie and wait and deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow into all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Jesus goes to heaven, sends the gifts, and especially to the Christians, he gives us the Holy Spirit that we might have the fullness of the Godhead, that we might truly understand beyond a shadow of a doubt who God is. These were proofs that a new tenant has arrived. The Word of God says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And Isaiah 22:22 says this, and the key of David and the house of David, while I lay upon his shoulder, he shall be open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Jesus' tenancy is permanent. Amen. When he comes into your life, and when he comes into your heart, it's the last experience you ever have to need. You don't have to go any further than Christ. You don't have to go any other direction than Christ. He's a once-in-a-lifetime fulfillment. You see, my lease is going to expire in a couple months, and I might have to move to a new place, and I might have to sign new papers, but Jesus says this, you don't have to move, I'm coming to you. You don't have to go anywhere. I'm making my house in you. I'm going to come so that while I'm occupying your life, you can't have any place for the devil, because I want to keep you clean. I'm going to keep you maintained. I'm not going to rewrite the paper. It is finished. It is final. And once we realize this, I can go home and be with Jesus.
Amen.
You see, sometimes Christians fail in life because they really don't understand the devil's been defeated. Sometimes we will waste our time saying, the devil has done this, and the devil's got me down, and the devil is affecting my family, and the devil's attacking my finances, and the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. We'll be talking like this, when in truth, the devil's defeated. The devil's been brought down. The devil's no longer reigning. The devil has no power because Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave and said, Satan, I'm locking you up. You had my children. You had my sons. You had my daughters. But your notice has been served by the blood of the cross. And said this, free at last, just like old Lazarus. Loose him and let him go, is what was said by Jesus. We have to come to an understanding that we are filled with Jesus. We're no longer filled with sin and filled with iniquity, but we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And once we begin to recognize it, we can say, you know what? I used to have cobwebs in my life. I used to have problems in my life. I had some leaky faucets, but I've got a better landlord. I've got a better one that maintains me. I've got one who can fix my wounds and point me in the right direction. And guess what? It's free. I don't have to pay this rent. He paid it for me. And he said, if you want to come, you can come. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is it. He has been exalted above all things. There's no other name. His glory fills the earth. His glory fills the heaven. The only name that we should ever be proclaiming is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He has been exalted on high. He's taken those of us that were captive. Are we captive this morning? You see, sometimes we can still be captive as Christians because we don't understand that Christ has paid the price. Do you think that the devil should have any place in a Christian?
No.
Do you think that the devil should be able to hurt a Christian or to really ruin your life or to cause you problems? The devil can only cause people problems that don't believe. He can only cause people problems that don't believe. The Bible says it's finished. The Bible says he's locked up. The Bible says all power and principalities have been put under Christ's feet. It's a fact. It is there. It is proven by the gifts that were sent. It is proven that Jesus has died. But let me tell you something. Until you believe something, you can't have the fruit of it. For instance, here's what the devil will do. We'll say this is a fresh Papa John's pizza. It's got sausage and pepperoni, extra cheese, mushrooms, onions. Mmm. Got the garlic sauce on the side. And I'm smelling it. Mmm. Mmm. Not ring ring to come to the door. Oh, here, pay the money. Now, before I get that pizza, I'm getting ready to take a bite. Here's what the devil do. Oh, that pizza delivery guy, he spit on that pizza. Now, even though this is a perfectly good pizza, even though that didn't happen, the devil's a liar. He's going to tell you something for you not to partake of it. He's going to say, oh, he dropped it on the ground, he spit on it, he did this, that. And if you believe it in your mind, then you ain't going to eat that pizza. You're like, even though it's good, Christians, God has made you perfect by his grace and by his spirit. But we are so dumb sometimes to let the one that is defeated, let me go ahead and whisper in your ear. You think you're going to heaven? No, you ain't. Look at you. You ain't going there. You're kidding yourself. And he'll try to cause us to doubt. And if we are quicker to hang on to the doubt, then it will affect you. Because that's what you'll begin to believe. I charge you today, to believe that Jesus Christ is the full occupancy of this world. He has all power. All everything is in his name. So whatever the enemy that's defeated has been telling you, you need to strike it from your memory and accept the gospel. He has made all things new. You think you are a failure? You think that you're nothing? You think that you are a waste? You think that you might never be good enough for what God wants you to do? But the fact is this. Jesus came. He paid the price. He gave us new names. He's given us a new light, a new hope, a new spirit, a new desire. And we have to hold on to that. We have to take the old keys that we had, the old life, and say, you know what? I'm moving out of this place. This world that I've known for so long, the one I was stuck here because I didn't have the one to help me out. I couldn't get out of this paradise, quote unquote, earth, because I didn't have the right keys. The fact is this, Abraham's bosom's no more. It's empty. All the saints that were there are now there. We have to not think as those that are captive. I'm going to tell you a story about captivity. There's a man had a big old fish aquarium. And in this fish aquarium, he had this shark, little baby shark. Little baby shark in this big old aquarium. Said to the man, that's a beautiful baby shark you have. Said, that's not a baby shark, that's a full-grown shark. Full-grown shark in a little bitty cage. He went on to say that because of his environment, it causes his growth to be that way. If you were to put him out into the big ocean, he'd get much bigger. But because of the confinements of his space, that's as big as he'll get. We have to understand that the Bible gives us no confinement. The devil will try to put you in a box and try to make you think what you can be. You'll never be this, you'll never be that. And he'll try to put you, your mentality, to a place where you're full grown, but you're not grown. Amen. Jesus Christ sets you free from any confinements that the devil might have you thinking. You can't sing? God will give you a new song. You can't learn? God will give you a new mind. You can't pray? God will give you a spirit of prayer. You have to understand that when we are in God's kingdom, when we are in God's home, we're not confined to anything. We have the room for our full potential to grow. Same thing, me and Jenna, we went to this place in Louisiana once. It was some type of swamp. And in this swamp, they had a little conservatory. And you can see they had some alligators in there. And now they had two alligators that were born the same day. But one was much, much bigger than the other one. And we said, why is this one bigger than the other one? And they're born the same day. And the first that was there said, because of their exposure to the sun and because of the foods they eat, it can greatly affect their growth. Born the same day, given the same food, but the difference is one spent more time in the sun. One spent more time in exposure, so he grew. Christians that grow are those that expose themselves to God's word, that expose themselves to God's grace. You can take two people, get them saved on the same day, give them the same message, but the one that goes forward and wants to partake in God's kingdom grows quicker, though born the same day. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Even though we are in this world, and even though we can't fly yet, and we can't just think and be there, those are things to come. We have to understand that it's done. Jesus Christ has given us a new way to think. We can't think like the captive person. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can never be good at this. I can never be good at that. He has taken that and said all things are possible for those that believe. There's nothing impossible with God. So if you have captive thinking, you know, the Jews had captive thinking. When they were set free after 400 years of bondage and God had brought them out to the desert, do you know what they were saying? He has brought us out here to die. Let us go back to where we have scallions and onions and garlic. Let us go back They were thinking like a slave. They had the mentality that they could only do so many things, that they could only go so many places, and that without Pharaoh, they would die. They had captive thinking. Jesus has carried away not only us, but our captors. Are there any here this morning that are in captivity? You see, what I said earlier, Jesus Christ, the things that we couldn't overcome, he dealt with. I was captive for a while to alcohol. I was captive for a while to a lying tongue. I was captive for a while for lustful eyes. I was captive for a while for a lot of things. Things I could not overcome. Some of you may be captive to drugs. It's got a greater force and it keeps you down. Some of you might be captive to another person, a man that's abusive or something like that, that is constantly trying to put his power or exert his force upon you. But I've got good news, glory to God. I have got good news. The captors have been taken away. Yes. Death, hell, sin, the grave, the devil, all of his angels, all of his dominion has been done with. The kidnappers have been caught. The devil has been caught by the tail and has been put in the lake of fire. He cannot have dominion over your life. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is you just have to believe. It is a fact. You can't be in bondage when you're free. The Bible says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. How is that possible? Because he took the one that had us bound in chains. He took the demon possession and he said, come out. Glory to God.
Amen.
I don't know if you're getting me this morning. Whatever you might be going through, if it's not a trial to bring you deeper into God's grace, then it's not of God. If you're bound to anything other than the book, then today you can be free. Because the fact is, he's taking captivity captive. You think that, oh, well, I'm stuck here in Urban Crest, and I don't have no car, I don't have any money, I don't have any food, I don't have any good clothes, and you can look and you can think and you can think and you can think like that. Or you can say, you know what? In order for me to be carried away, he had to come. Jesus had to come to carry me away. When God picks you up, it don't cost you anything. You can't pay for one thing with God. The gifts are free. He gave some apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists. He gave some the spirit of prayer. He gave some the spirit of teaching. God gives all these gifts for the perfecting of the body, to strengthen the body of Christ, to bring the body of Christ to a stronger place that we might be more established. He gives us what we could not get in our own selves. Amen. He has gone down, he's gone up, and sent back down gifts. People that have the anointing to sing or the ability to proclaim and to preach, these are gifts from God. These are things that God can give because he is God and he has proven it. A new tenant has arrived. Jesus, when he comes to your life, it's like a new baby. Little baby gets all the attention in the world. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, that little boo-boo. Oh, little baby, let me squeeze you. Oh, look at these little cheekies. Because a new tenant arrived, amen. When that little baby came out, everybody's at the hospital probably. Oh, look at that baby. She's so cute. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And there was joy, amen. There was joy because something new had arrived. Sometimes we can be Christians. Jesus could have arrived in our life, and we have lost the joy. Remember when you first got saved? Oh, Jesus saved me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Got to go to church. Anybody like that? When that lady had been pursuing after weeks and weeks, finally gave you the number. Oh, I got a number. And you get so excited. You ought to be excited because the gospel is good news. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A new tenant is coming. Someone better. Someone with a better covenant. A new covenant. Someone with better policies and rules and regulations is coming. His name is Jesus. Get excited. Get ready, because it's the truth. When Jesus comes, there's going to be excitement. Those that don't know him, when they see that eastern sky depart and they see the Son of Man coming down on the clouds to establish his kingdom, there are going to be those that have been waiting, saying, glory to God, he's finally coming. Glory to God, he's here. When the rapture of the church comes, there's going to be some excitement. When Jesus died on the cross and was buried for those 3 days and he began to preach to those that are in prison, I'm pretty sure they were excited because they heard his footsteps coming. They knew that their salvation was near. Christians, it's not but for a second more that the Lord will take us that are captive. You hear? Da, 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 da! The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that shall remain will be caught up with him. Get excited, because it's true. Everything that takes away a Christian's joy is lies of the devil that we believed. The devil can't take anything away from you unless you give it to him. Amen. You used to praise the Lord. Now you don't. You gave it to the devil. You let your circumstance become greater than God's circumstance. You let your situation interpret the scripture instead of letting the scripture interpret your situation. We all have trials that we go through. We all have different phases of our life. But the bottom line is, if you hold on to Christ, no matter what it is, all things are going to work for the good of those that believe. You might be thinking this, you might be thinking that, but if you believe in God, it's going to work itself out. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you hold on to God, it's going to work itself out. We can either be going through the trial and be cursing God and cussing God, or we can simply understand it's the devil trying to get us not to believe. And if we will stand fast, the Bible says, on the word of God, the devil will flee. But if you start agreeing with the devil, like Eve, oh, we're not supposed to eat of this tree, for if we do, we'll die. Oh, no, no, Eve, that's not right. God just doesn't want you to be enlightened. He knows that if you eat of this tree, you'll be like him. It's a lie from the pit. Don't let Satan trick you out of God's plan. Amen? Don't let him knock on your door. Don't surrender any part of your life to him. Don't give him another moment, another day, to keep speaking lies in your ears. God's plan is good. No matter what might be happening, his plan is good. He was able to lead captivity captive because they believed. You see, before Abraham's day, they didn't have all the miracles and all these great things. Yes, God worked out great things in their lives, but at the same time, they didn't see Jesus heal the sick. They had to die believing. They had to die believing in the promise that God was going to send his son. And when they died, they believed, and God came and saved them. Amen? Because for whatever reason, God allows Satan time on this earth. He gives Satan his time to do what he does. Most of it's just to separate believers from unbelievers. You ever thought about that? Why, you ever ask yourself, why does God let Satan reign on this earth? Because that's the perfect way for God to separate those that believe against those that don't believe. Those that want to fall away and those that want to go the right way. God does this, amen? Come to close. The Bible says he led captivity captive and that he sent gifts down to men. Today, if you're still captive, you can leave here free. If today you're still stuck in a tank and you can't see God's full potential in your life, you can be free. If today you've been eating a lot of food but you ain't getting no bigger, you can have too much Mickey D's and not enough steak and vegetables. The Lord wants you to be full, and he wants you to experience his glory. There are so many people in this world that are attempting to experience God's glory and trying to have God better in their life, and they work and they work and they work instead of simply receiving it. That's all you have to do is receive it. Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you can listen to that in your ear, just like someone spit on your pizza, and allow what you hear to alter your life, you can walk out of this door and be changed for the rest of your life. If you can simply take God at His word, there's no reason to ever be down. None. If you can simply read the word of God and say, you know what? God said it. I believe it. That's it. There's no limits. Don't let the devil undo God's work in your life by lies. You might have gotten saved. You might have made a mistake and sinned or did something you did before you got saved. The devil might have told you, well, you're no good. It ain't going to happen. You messed up. You had a chance. And then you screwed up. 70 times 70, God forgives. We hurt Him. And we do things that aren't always pleasing to Him. But God would rather forgive us than to cast us away. He would rather restore us than to have us be a waste. He would rather take the things out of our life that are hurting us to cause us to be a light than He would not to do any work at all. Amen? If you can simply take God at His word, all things are made new. Amen? I shall stand at this time. Lord God, we come to You in Jesus' name. Father God, we don't know things that we ought to know. You've done so much to set us free. You paid such an enormous price to share Your grace and Your love and mercy. And sometimes we don't fully embrace that. We don't fully love You as we ought to as a new baby is born, Father God. We don't get excited sometimes. We don't proclaim that You've been born in our lives as we ought to. We don't recognize that You come all the time, Father God. Lord, ask that for those that are here, Father God, that we begin to realize and to take and understand that You are the new covenant. You are the new tenant. You are the new spirit. You are the King of kings. You are the bright morning star. And Father, it is so easy for us to say this. But our ears sometimes hear other things. Let Your word come through in Jesus' name. And for those of you here that are still in captivity, today the door's been unlocked. And for those of you today that are being put to bondage by someone greater than you, the King is here, amen. He's come for prayer. Only imagine.
can only imagine.
Well, then we're going to sing us some Jamaican songs. But if we sing them, you got to get out of those seats and you got to dance like you're really from Jamaica. Or your parents were from Jamaica, parents' parents were from Jamaica. But I want you to be true to who you are.
Come on, everybody sing.